Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. It is autumn, fall. People are saying don't fall for it. It's called autumn. No matter what you guys call it, in French it is automne. But I don't know, I've always been taught that it was fall in English. If you guys prefer autumn, that's fine. There won't be any pumpkin spice latte here on the show tonight for the fall stream. Pumpkin spice latte is everything that's wrong with woman decision making. And even a little more, I wouldn't drink the symbol of consumerism and capitalism. It's amazing because I feel always so good during the fall, during this perfect temperature season where things are dry but cold. My feet are starting to be very cold. I'm starting to feel the differential of blood circulation in my feet, where really my feet are kind of leaving my body. I don't feel them totally anymore because I keep them very cold. And that is a good feeling to me. And it's also amazing to see that the has-been e-celebs that are interested in my private life and now the mainstream journalists are sending me interview questions and that kind of crap. They want to do hit pieces on the history of Mama JF, the story of Mama JF. And yet all of these people are looking for trouble. They're all looking to seed trouble. They're not interested in the safety of Mama JF at all. They are just wanting trouble and wanting to cover trouble. Here's an editor of Newsweek. Hi, I'm a senior reporter with Newsweek working on a story about the missing person report about Mama JF. Would you be willing to answer a few questions about her for the story? And I said, depends on the questions. And she answers, do you have a statement that you've been sharing about her being declared missing? Some people have questioned you on your social media. What would you say to people who doubt your innocence? What can I answer today? What can I answer to this kind of crap? I mean, there was another, the Daily Beast reporter who had the Daily Beast reporter who had smeared me back in the right-wing days of the internet. She wants to write a Mama JF story. And she was all, I hope you're well. I'm reaching out because I'm interested in writing about Mama JF's missing persons case. Have you or investigators learned anything new about her whereabouts since you last addressed them online? Are you able to share any information that might help people identify her? Additionally, I know some commenters have implied that you were involved in foul play. And that you have denied those claims. Would you like to comment further on those allegations? I already answered to the Daily Beast one. I said, here is my statement. The self-appointed journalists who are today interested in the case of a free woman who has decided to travel, which they seek to present to you as a case of male foul play, are the very same people who were interested years ago at smearing the same male with lies. That should tell you all you need to know about the seriousness of the concerns of these people. I don't have much to answer. The other one wants an official statement. I mean, she can look at my Twitter account. I can quote the tweet for her. Here it is, my October 4th tweet. Here, I'm going to send her this. Now, what would you say to people who doubt your innocence? I don't care what a bunch of low intelligence people think about my innocence. I don't care what a bunch of low intelligence people think about my innocence. You know, you have to take what they give you. And this is some degree of mainstream media coverage. I'm going to take it, but it's interfacing with a part of society that I totally despise, and that I don't care what these idiots are thinking about their theories and everything. What you think is irrelevant. You guys have no clue what you're talking about. All these journalists, they all work on public information. I've laid it out in interviews, so if they want to follow through with the interviews, they will know the truth. But it's like, at some point, I can't do more than I've already done. And I'm moving on personally from this subject, but I just wanted to update you guys about this. It's what you have to deal with when there's all these people who are... They are on your case. You know, Kelly Whale, this is the one who lied about me in 2017. She wants to keep lying about me. And so I have nothing but insults to send to these people. I despise them, and I will use them to the extent that I can gain coverage from it. But other than this, these people cannot help this search anyway, because they don't know anything. Gray says, I like true crime too, but these people have clearly done no investigation into what Mama JF was like. Exactly. It's like, if you want to be serious about understanding this story, the first thing you would have to do is go back and see my currently live available collection of videos. Not watch little clips that people are taking out of context here and there. Watch the actual show for years. And it's all there, publicly available. So it's like, what else could I tell you in an email that's going to help you if you can't help yourself? Today, this afternoon, I canceled the insemination request. I wanted to update you guys because I didn't mention a couple of shows ago, I believe, that there might be a possibility of insemination presenting to me. Originally, this girl was very, very interested, you know, and seemed extremely motivated. She was like, everything was good. I'm going to move in with you. I like your genes. I want us to have babies together. We will have good genes, baby. We will have good genes, babies. And... yeah, and so she was part of those contacting me as part of this whole personal life story and kind of taking me in pity, and I'm like, I don't need pity, and I quickly told her, you know, since I saw she was a woman, although her profile picture was very small, I couldn't see if she was beautiful, but I could see she was a woman, and I said, if you're interested in having babies, let me know. And she was super, super red-pilled. She was like, yeah, I'm red-pilled. I want to serve my husband. I will serve you forever. You deserve the best wife. So I'm like, okay, that's a nice project. But, you know, you guys were warning me, maybe she's a fed. Maybe she's a fed. I still don't know whether she's a fed, but as I told you guys, my approach is... impossible to pierce for a fed or for a journalist. Because my approach is, if you haven't been inseminated by me within the first week, we're done. And so I was like, okay, this is all very, very interesting talk, you know, very nice foreplay, lady. Very nice foreplay. You know, she just says, go ahead, inseminate me. But I'm like, you know, there's going to be serious things you have to do. She was outside of Canada. So I'm like, it's going to be some sort of immigration thing. There's going to be lots of administrative thing. We might get separated while you're pregnant. You might have to come back through another immigration route. And, but I will always be there, to care for you. And no matter the distance, I will get you back here as soon as possible. So we have to kind of ignore these administrative thing, and you have in life, you have to decide and do it. And she was into it. So I thought, oh my God, even those big things, you know, that does involve some degree of stress, she's willing to take them. But there was a little bunch of clues, attachment to her mother, way too high. There were a couple of red flags that I was digging, and it boiled down to, okay, this girl is super attached to her family and staying where she is. And so this morning, she said, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about going toward your place, and I think I have another idea. What about you come to my place? And it's like, no, lady, there's no such thing. I don't care. I will pay all of your bills for traveling. You can come here for free. I'll give you all the food you need, but I'm not moving from here. I'm not moving for a random woman who I know nothing about. I'm the man with the social proof. You're nothing. Like no offense to the lady. I mean, she's beautiful and all. You are nothing. There is no way for me to distinguish you from a crack whore. And so I'm the man with a history of social proof, of loyalty, of never leaving a single woman, of always being a subservient to my woman and offering them good life and a healthy environment to live in. And not only this, I'm happy with my current life. I don't even seek a woman. And so I said, no, if you're so attached to your place that you're already, that this is already on your mind, you're not the kind of person who can handle life with me. What I need, if I'm ever going to take a woman again in the future, I need a woman who's willing to put a blindfold and follow me into the dark, no matter where I bring her. I need a fully dedicated woman. And if within the first days you're already computing this kind of stuff, we are incompatible. That is really too bad, because that was kind of our last chance at reproduction, you know. And I'm like, you know, and then she came back and said, oh, well, you know, thinking about it, maybe I could go see you in March. But it's like, in March, you'll be a non-reproductive, dead-end evolutionary entity. It's like, that's why I was pressing from the beginning with her. You have to act quick. If I see you not acting quick, I'm not interested in getting a Down syndrome baby when you're 40 years old, you know? So it's like now or never. And she chose never, it seems. Now, when you drop this woman and you kind of detach from a couple of weeks, maybe she will come back and maybe she will change her mind. But those are non-negotiable. I don't even make those rules. I just know enough about the world that I cannot take a half-committed woman who still has attachment to anything else. Rodita Sid says, Jeff, you could go to Thailand or Vietnam and easily get a super beautiful woman who's 25 and will gladly go to Canada, and she won't ask you to move to Vietnam. Yeah. But I do not even want to invest the energy of this dating moment of developing some kind of a relationship where I have to sort out and filter between the crack whores, the Thailand prostitutes, the family-oriented prostitutes that are actually prostituting themselves to send money to their family, and find the one woman that's truly into building a family. The crack whore level in Thailand is like, it has reached its peak. I'm not going to invest years of my life emotionally ruining myself to explore the dating scene of Thailand, which is filled with prostitution. Prostitution is a mode of life there. Prostitution is how you live as a woman. And not even mentioning John Garas mentions them, but that's another problem. The Thai lady boys. Although as a biologist, I think I have the eye to I have the eye to recognize the Thai lady boy. I don't think I would fall for that one. But it's like, holy shit, you're with this beautiful woman and she's so subservient that the first thing she does is a blowjob for you. And it's like, no, see, that's your error there. Now your brain is sexually attached to a Thai boy. Oh no, I'm not going through this. I'm way too happy in my life and I have way too much to build on to give it up for this kind of late attempt that is very pathetic in men. I'd rather die with a little less babies. Let's say you have the hypothesis that on average I could make a trip to Thailand and I would perhaps have a shot at making 0.05 babies, in the sense that 95% of the cases I will find myself with a prostitution situation where I'm getting drained money. 5% of the chance is a real woman who would come back with me and build a family. This 0.05 babies is just not worth it for me. And that is pretty much what I explained to the girl who was initially very motivated to come live with me. I said, you know, I can't spend the next 5 months of my life on the phone every day with you building an emotional relationship, because you're already showing all these red flags, and I'm keeping a lot of red flag secrets here because I think it's hurting. It's a private life, but there were way too many red flags for me to say this is worth 5 months of work, energy, time. I mean, we're talking about, if you compare this with my rate when I do work, like, I do a lot of money. I can make a lot of money when I work at this point. I have a lot of demand. I have an infinite amount of work ahead of me, basically. And I can work for something like $100K a year. So if I'm spending half the year trying to attach with you and trying to convince you of maybe you could come, that is, what's my percentage return there? 10%, 5%? And it's not like you're going to fundamentally change. You're going to always be attached to your caring for your old age mother and living in whatever crap place you live. If you can't make that jump, that kind of leap of faith, you don't qualify cognitively to be with me, because there will be a lot of leap of faith ahead. I mean, I have a crazy life. It's a crazy life that I fully protect my wives from. Like, you can literally come with me, partner with me for the rest of your life, and you're going to experience zero bumps from this crazy life I live. But what I do need, one thing I do need absolutely, is absolute loyalty. Loyalty against any force, against other women, against your woman friends, against your mother, against your father, against the government, against the entire world, against the internet, against everything. And, well, I mean, she wasn't the right one, and it's really too bad for her, because it's, you know, it's you're really into the last phase of your life. She is at the age where she may have 3 babies if everything goes well and she starts now. But if you're already starting March, and oh yeah, maybe I'll visit you in March. Well, visit me in March. That's visit me in 5 months from now. No. Sorry. I mean, if you want to visit me in March, visit me in March, but I'm not talking to you on the phone until then, because that you're asking me to invest, to outpour my male energy out there, which is high value on the market. You're trying to get me to waste it, to throw it out the window. And I wouldn't say she's a fed. I don't think she's a fed, but it's kind of fed-like behavior. You know, it's like, oh, how do I tell the difference between a journalist who's trying to make a story about me and a real woman who wants to build a family? I had to ask myself this question this morning. what's the difference? Let's say this girl is a Newsweek journalist, and she's been told, make a story about JF. We want you to become JF's girlfriend, and take us through the process of what is life with JF. And the thing is, the way you differentiate is by coming inside of her without a condom, while being sure that she's not taking pills. That's how you differentiate, ultimately, a journalist from a real woman. And if I can't get that verification within the first few weeks, and, you know, I would say the first week if you're physically close to me, but I can give some leeway to someone who's in another country and who has to go through some amount of bureaucracy and everything. Saturn Shine says, you're too mechanical about sex, JF. Mechanical. What's not mechanical in our world? Everything is mechanical. Your penis is mechanical. It's basically an elevated, inflationable pump that's elevated by blood. You are doing the back and forth for the purpose of preparing the female vagina for insemination. The ejaculation is mechanical. The babies that pop out of the belly after is mechanical. Everything is mechanical. Find me something that's not mechanical, and I'll tell you we have a new law of physics. But until you do, everything is mechanical. And I'm the only one who live in reality on this. You might think that 99% of the normies out there are just the normal people and I'm the weird one. The reality is these people are deluded. These billions of people, all deluded, all living in a virtual space that they created in their brain. I'm the only one who lives in reality. The reality of the back and forth, the injection of sperm into the uterus. Rodilla Sid says, Jeff, you also have to be careful of a Project Veritas beautiful female reporter. Just assume she's recording you all the time. Well, that's how I live all of my life. So it's like everything I gave this girl, if she was actually to record me and make a Newsweek article about me, the reality is you would realize I'm just the exact same guy in private that I am in public. I mean, with maybe some rounding of the corners, you know, maybe some rum and TikTok that's a little more soft. You have to go easy on those females. But basically, you would discover that I'm just like I am on this show, but perhaps just softly speaking and perhaps just a little more familiar in my interaction. That's what you would discover. So I'm not ashamed that any part of my life and anything that could be recorded against my will, I would be laughing my ass off because it would actually improve my standing. Like people would say, oh my God, JF is just this random romantic guy out there looking for love and family and straight about what he wants. Yeah, so just that is the reason I'm talking about this story is I think you have to learn something from Donald Trump about dating. And it's this idea that if you're not willing to leave the table, if you go to a negotiation without being ready to leave with nothing, you're going to get ripped off. So it's very important to master the art of clean break. Because the art of clean break, first, it allows you to go back to productivity straight away. Like starting today, I have no more this call in the morning or this call during the night where I have to entertain the charming of a woman. So I'm back to full dedication to my work and the things that matter to me right now. So that is already good. That's an advantage of clean break rather than not knowing and, will she call me or do I have to call her? Or has it been 3 days? Has it been 2 days? Maybe I should call her. You don't want to be in those situations. And on top of it, if there's any hope for the person to change, she will show it at the moment of the clean break or shortly thereafter. So by saying, look, you're just breaking the deal that I clearly was very clear about. You're just going too far. And those are conditions that I'm not interested in. Maybe she will come back and tell you, all right, I will settle for those conditions. I hadn't understood how important all of this was to you, but you're right. I should be the one sacrificing my life rather than you. Because I'm my whole self is out there on the internet. There's no secret about me. So you can easily verify my quality, easily verify my philosophy out there. I'm taking risks. I'm taking risks, especially given that I have a very satisfying and productive family life. If I bring someone, it can only be a risk. It can only get worse. So I should be the one who looks at this whole interaction from a conservative standpoint and from a, I have a lot to lose because I'm freaking happy. I can't believe somehow that these women who are on their last stretch, and it's like, yeah, I mean, if you don't make a baby during the next 6 months, it's going to be soon over for you. And do you really want to go out, to go into the night, into that silent night, without a baby? And especially given the conditions that I give, I mean, she wouldn't even have to be loyal and stay around me. I mean, she could literally come and take my sperm and then do whatever she wants. Not that it's my favorite option. She would have my loyalty and my commitment, but she would be just like Mama JF. She could travel and leave literally at any moment she wants. It's hard to understand why these girls don't at least go to the sperm clinic and get inseminated by the sperm, at least. Cloud Warmer says, how do the police operate in Canada? If they had evidence to conclude you were a suspect, would you be detained and interrogated? In the USA, they have probable cause. Does Canada have this also? Well, definitely, the concept of probable cause also happens. In Canada, you will get imprisoned in advance of your trial very often. I've seen statistics that it was something to the effect of maybe 80%, 90% of the prison time overall is by people who weren't even found guilty yet. So basically, in Canada, you get punished for... you get punished before the trial happens. But in my case, there was no worries to be had of that sort because they will still, for this initial imprisonment, you will need to be a serious suspect. And the level of serious is not that serious, but they will need to have some indication that that you were the one who did it. And that could be a witness who says, yeah, he did it. That could be the woman say, yeah, he beat me. So that kind of stuff will pass in court. Or any sort of physical evidence placing you around the scene. But in my case, I had extensive layers of evidence that were all demonstrating, and I had taken, I was prepared for all of this. I knew this was coming one day or another. So I had collected all this evidence that was clearly demonstrating, look, this was a consensual trip. She wanted to go. Here's the writings. Here's a confirmation of hers while she's distant and away from me. Here she is typing this. So given that I had all of this, and in fact, I didn't have to lay out every piece of evidence I have to the feds because my first layer I gave them was enough for them. But I had about six layers of evidence where, all right, if you've not been convinced by this, here's another layer of evidence. Here's another layer of evidence. So I had so much, it was impossible that I would I mean, unless you had bad faith judges or bad faith prosecutors, I would have, it would have been very unlikely that I end up in jail. Even just momentarily. Justin Carlson says, is it possible that Mama JF is still at the store looking for the right cheese? I don't know where she is. I don't know. And to me, this is an old story. She has gone. And as long as she doesn't show sign of life, I will assume that she is out there on a consensual trip, leading the life that she wants, whatever it is. And it's not a life that concerns me anymore. I still am a protector of Mama JF's family interest and everything related to this. But other than this, you know, I've been saying lots of provocative things in the last few days on my shock interviews that I was doing and the gallows humor and all of the comedic appearance that I've done. And I thought about this sentence for the last few days, and I never used that sentence in my comedic appearances, but I think it was, there was a place for it, and it's, she's dead to me. And I know how, when you have people who think that you may be a murderer, and you say, she's dead to me, I know it may be hurtful, and people may be shocked by it, but I know something else. I know that she's not dead. Well, I think I know. I mean, I know that if she's dead, it was through an accident that she probably didn't have control over. I know that she went consensually away from me. And at that moment, she was dead to me. Not in a bad sense, but in a sense where I cannot apply infinite amount of care to people who aren't giving pings back to me. If you don't ping me back, you're dead to me. And I think that's what she wanted. I think she wants to be dead to me. Why else would she abandon her cell phone and tell me, you're not going to be able to call me anymore? Clearly, she wanted to be dead to me. And that's a decent request. Perhaps that's what she wants. And so accept it. It's like the whole internet is trying to see a problem where there's none. Cloud Warmer says, is Ben Stiller going to play you in the next Netflix adaptation of JF? I don't know. You know, Ben Stiller, I think it would be an honor if a great actor like Ben Stiller can play my role. But I don't know. Do they still hire these white kind of Jewish men, Sam Harris lookalikes? I don't know. At this point, there's lots of minority hiring in Hollywood, and I think there might be a place for JF to be played by, I don't know, a half Arab, half black, maybe Blasian or Blindian. I don't know. I don't know if Ben Stiller still is in demand. Denzel Washington. Why not Denzel Washington? Denzel Washington, you know, who plays in so many of these, I'm a tough guy with grenades and super guns, and I have gun techniques. I don't know. He has perhaps the slightly autistic, high performance, kind of surgical precision in the physical performance that's needed to play me. Oh my God, wouldn't it be funny when the right-wing white identitarians of the internet end up getting played by black men? We had a super chat left during the day. Low Mercury Tuna says on Entropy, the Iron Dome has proven itself to be ineffective against Hamas rocket attacks. It's time Israel upgrades to Diamond Dome. I don't know. I've not followed how many of the rockets landed, how many were intercepted. but it's never a perfect system. Depending on the quantity of rackets, I think they can block 80% up to 100% of the rackets. But there is an amount, there is a frequency of racket shooting, I guess, that they can't handle. And I know that some of the rackets did fall into Israel. he also says in a separate super chat, when the Mounties were coming so early in the mornings, did they at least bring you some donuts? Mr. Garyapi, are you in there? We have donuts. No, the donut treatment is strictly for right-wing extremists when the feds come to see you. This is what I found out, because when the feds were annoying me because they thought I was very connected in the right-wing networks, you know, this guy is leading the right-wing revolution. Let's go interrogate him. They were bringing donuts then. And they were knocking at the door of my mother, hilariously, because they didn't know I was elsewhere. Now they know. Maybe my next Fed interrogation, they will know where I'm at and they'll come knocking at my door now. But yeah, they were bringing donuts back then. And when you're a murder suspect, no donuts. They treat you like shit. No eggs, no bacon. They just are there for the interrogation and for taking a voice statement from you. I can accept this. I can understand. I wouldn't want there to be a donut reward for murdering your wife, you know? And we're always with the social welfare state, we're always at the border of maybe giving too much a reward for bad actions. John Gorat says, do not talk without a lawyer present. That is such a ridiculous and cheap joke, but for some reason it makes me laugh. do not talk without a lawyer present. Yeah, I mean, in this case was so clear-cut that I didn't need a lawyer at any point, and I felt totally comfortable just laying. I knew that any lawyer I would hire would be less autistic than me. And it's like, bro, I know. And I hate the legal process when it's poorly done. I hate the legal process when it's the family courts and these liars. But holy shit, do I love the legal process of police investigation. And holy shit, do I have respect for them. And so I was like, here's my first layer of evidence. Are you convinced by this? Oh, yeah. They were so convinced by the first layer of evidence. They made their checks. Everything fit. They made their camera. They looked at their camera. So I didn't have anything further to prove. They already accepted my first layer. Igolini says, I saw an article about JF being a murderer, and the pic of him, he was wearing a yellow hazmat suit and decontaminating. Oh yeah, that is the most dishonest. That is the most dishonest thing they've done out there. They take my demonstration of a re-entry and exit in a pandemic situation video, which was a public service announcement showing that how to master the art of being clean, and they took that picture of me in yellow hazmat suit and how to do a clean re-entry, you know, and they kind of suggest that somehow that makes me the perfect murderer. Holy shit. I love that just being who I am is sufficient to expose these people. I love it. It is quite stunning, the mask falling down and just the degree of stupidity that you see in people. Like, atheism is unstoppable. I love that I didn't even try. Like, those are just fragments of my life that if it was just me, they would all have stayed secret. If it wasn't of a government agent in the government doing some call, I'm worried. all of this would be secret. I haven't even tried to fool these people. There are times where I like playing with journalists, but this time I didn't try playing with journalists at all. And yet they step over the eggs and they, you know, they step in their own shit because they're just too stupid. Rodita Sid says, AIU talking about you reminds me of Sam Harris talking about Trump. Yeah, and it's too bad because these people are late in their video career. They don't have anything important to say. My ideas will survive their entire existence and more. And, you know, they probably won't even have the honor of apologizing down the line. Like, down the line, 1 year, 2 years from now, there's going to be public and incontrovertible evidence that I haven't killed Mama JF, of course. And, in fact, she's probably going to publish a video of herself, I guess, at some point. And she will explain, oh, yeah, I'm just chilling and I didn't hear about all this stuff on the internet. Sorry, I'm here. I'm alive. And yet, I don't think I will get much apologies from these idiots. And they shouldn't even apologize to me first. They should apologize to themselves and their failed pursuit of the truth. Atheism is unstoppable. You know, this whole idea that rationality will leave us to abandon God. But you can't even apply rationality in a random personal situation like this one. You're too emotional. And it gives a very bad look to this rationalist movement. Very bad look, because they appear to be totally unable to apply their stated principles in any other situation than God. And that makes you believe. So you guys are just pissed against God. You guys are just pissed against religion. You are in an anti-authoritarian teenager revolt, basically. That's what you have. Because I want to hear a serious discourse about whether God exists or doesn't exist. All my life I've been participating to these debates. But what's really not interesting is I'm just pissed against God because, I don't know, this priest raped me, or this person who forced me into religion wasn't a good person. The cliche is true, says DK Shadow. They just hate God. All right, it's a false stream, so I don't have much news for you guys, but we can still go through what's happening. So we now have photos of the post-bombardment in Gaza.
يا الله المكان يعني من كثر الركام مش عارفين ندخل اكثر من هيك وفي برج هنا مهدد يا الله الزلزال ضرب هذا
All right, so Israel has been following what the extremists of Twitter were demanding: complete destruction of Gaza. The Zionist starter soy pack. Make sure you get your Zionist starter soy pack. Let's see what the elementary cards of it are. Human shields. Ancestral homeland. Judeo-Christian civilization. Worse than the Nazis. Late arriving founding father. Savage animals. Dead babies. Palestinian media monopoly theory. Moral obligation to destroy. And terrorism. It's amazing, the pack of irrational beliefs that are stemming to justify. Like, it seemed to me that there was a standard in journalism about verification and sources And the whole dead baby claim has been... it started with a journalist reporting, I heard that some soldier found 40 dead babies decapitated. So it was giving you the impression that, okay, there was some room of torture where a bunch of Hamas people just collected babies they could find, or maybe they happened to enter a room where there were lots of babies, and they just started, like, gratuitously assassinating them, chopping their head for fun. And that was the whole motivation behind, oh, these people are animals, no negotiation is possible. You know, that kind of Zionist attitude. Now today, because there's been so much noise about this on Twitter, today we have the Israeli government coming out with pictures. And I'm looking at the pictures. I'm not going to show them on screen, but we have a picture of a piece of tissue that is charcoaled, that is completely burned. Could be a baby, could be something else. And then we have a dead child, maybe 2, 3, 4 year old, with lots of injuries and dead. That's not 40 decapitated babies. If there were 40 decapitated babies, those are not the photos you would be showing us. Because at this point, they're like, oh, here we have the picture of the dead babies. Well, here's a baby that's burned, and here's a baby that's dead. We don't know why they're dead. We don't know why they're burned. Have they been burned intentionally by cruel Hamas terrorists with a flamethrower? Or is it that there was a missile strike, maybe there was a missile interception, the missile falls on a house, fire catches, and the baby burns as a result. Same thing for the other kid that's dead. Okay, here's a dead kid. First, that's not a baby. Second, he's not decapitated. Third, what killed him? We don't know. It could be anything from, yes, perhaps a Hamas terrorist killing him. It could be, stray bullets and general trauma based on a mechanical impact from an intercepted missile or rocket. This doesn't look like the targeting of babies for decapitation that we've heard of initially. So it's like, is the current proof proving the initial claim? No. The current proof is showing some children have suffered from this event. I still don't know why they suffered. I still don't know if their suffering was accidental. I still don't even know that their suffering and their death was caused by Hamas. You have to investigate, because that certainly doesn't look like someone was just mass chopping baby heads. Because that your picture would look different. Igolini says, these Hamas guys sound like real jerks. Norm McDonald. Yes. Ariel Suarez says, wasn't the burnt baby image picture generated by AI? Well, I saw this claim. So I saw there's a tweet. Let me try to see if I can... if I can find it. I've taken note of it somewhere. Yeah, there it is. The Quds News Network is saying, another lie, YouTuber Jackson Hinkle has found out that a photo published by the pro-Israel journalist Ben Shapiro claiming that it shows an Israeli baby burnt by resistance fighters is generated by AI. Shapiro was responsible for spreading the beheaded baby's propaganda, which the Israeli army denied. So Ben Shapiro this morning was tweeting, I mean, unbelievable, unbelievable tweet. I'm not going to show it on screen. But Ben Shapiro was publishing this burned tissue of some sort, a picture, and he says, you wanted pictorial proof of dead Jewish babies? Here it is, you pathetic Jew haters. Israel will minimize civilian casualties, but Israel will not allow the pieces of human shit who did this to live. Every ounce of blood spilled in Gaza is on Hamas. What an unbelievable tweet. First, this assumption that asking for rationality within the context of war is Jew hate. We have a bunch of very reasonable voices out there, Keith Woods, me, many other people right now, asking for relax. Let's stop being hysterical. Let's process things. Let's look at it from an evidential perspective. Let's not make suddenly, all of a sudden, every claim about Hamas is automatically true. We would like to go through this process because we have the technology. We have the technology to have a rational conversation as these events happen. Why not have it? But this hysterical context in which asking for evidence is Jew hate, it doesn't lend to a rational conversation. And then you see what he says at the end of this tweet, and he's basically trying to convert this into a license to kill civilians. And the theme of today was very much around a license to kill civilians. Look at the former Israeli prime minister, annoyed of even being asked about minimizing casualty to civilians.
And what about those Palestinians in hospital who are on life support and babies and incubators whose life support and incubator will have to be turned off because the Israelis have cut the power to Gaza?
Are you seriously keep on asking me about Palestinian civilians? What's...
Yeah, why not? That's a reasonable question, you know? Yes, we are seriously asking, do you have any intent to minimize damage to civilians, or are they just non-humans to you?
What's wrong with you? Have you not...
I don't think there's anything wrong with us, bro. Anytime we do that kind of stuff, that kind of war and stuff, by the way, America, people are onto us and they are asking, have you made everything you could to minimize civilian casualties? So we're just asking you the same question that's being asked of us all the time.
Not seen what happened. We're fighting Nazis.
That is the pure expression of irrationality. We're fighting Nazis. So you see why it was so important, this question of, is it okay to punch a Nazi? Because at this point, this guy says, not only is it okay to punch a Nazi, it's okay to punch a baby in the face, as long as you were kind of aiming for a Nazi. This is strong, okay? This is strong. Strong irrationality on the public space. Just being laid out right in front of us. This guy is telling us, why are you asking me about these babies in incubators? They're the babies of Nazis. We're fighting Nazis. And you can see here the danger of the early education of the Jewish people. The problem is they all get into these brainwashing teachings that really make them hate Nazis. And they all get into this whole, when it's a Nazi, everything is permitted. And now they're convincing themselves that the Palestinians are Nazis. The thing is, the Palestinians cannot possibly be Nazis, other than if the definition of Nazis is whoever lives by the side of the Jews, whoever annoys the Jews, whoever the Jews have had enough of, that's a Nazi. And I think what he's laying out here is a revelation that the Nazi exists not as a technical political term in the mind of the Jew. It exists as some sort of abstract entity of something that they just really hate. We have super chats. Cloud Warmer was saying, I saw someone on 4chan say that the police were slowly breaking JF through sleep deprivation by waking you up early. Why wouldn't they simply detain you in an interview room? Every single YouTube JCS-inspired interrogation video uses this method. They keep people waiting throughout the night. I mean, they could have tried editing, but I don't think that the Canadian police is going to go that harsh, especially on a guy that from the early stage of the, you know, I've shown all willingness to collaborate. I think that their idea was, okay, let's leave him in his comfort because this guy seems totally willing to collaborate. He answers the door. He talks to us. He doesn't ask for a lawyer. So they probably thought if he has anything to truly reproach himself, we're going to be able to catch it on these interviews in the morning. That's I think that's just what they thought. I think they saw from the beginning because they called me on the phone first. And on the phone, straight from the beginning, I said, yeah, I have a story. I'm ready to tell it. Here it is. So they knew what they were going to come to get from me. There were no signs from the beginning. There were no signs that there was anything to extract from me that I wouldn't give voluntarily. Albino Hunter has sent a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, "Hi Jeff, just tuned in. What's with you and Brett Weinstein? His biggest accomplishment as a biologist is getting kicked out of some weird hippie cult university. He doesn't seem very interesting and bombed hard on the last Joe Rogan show." Yeah, it's always what happens with Jewish intellectuals. They get more bigoted. They get worse rationally as time goes by. And I have a theory that basically they go through some special form of cognitive decline. So what's up with me? Well, the story between me and Brett is very long. I mean, I was a streamer already the day he got this whole Evergreen event started. But ultimately, it boils down to one thing, that what's happening between me and Brett. Brett is a teacher. And I'm a teacher too. And in fact, my favorite act of teaching is to teach to teachers. I love to test teachers and determine if they're not only able to teach, but if they're willing to learn also. And that is almost like a rape. It's a rape of the mind. Trying to insert an idea into someone's mind against their will. Because let's say I'm trying to insert the idea in your mind that don't think about elephants. What are you thinking about right now? You're thinking about an elephant. So making an inception is one of the toughest job of the teacher. And I'm trying to make an inception in Brett Weinstein's brain because Brett Weinstein, many years ago, when he was still talking about biology in his public interventions, he had mentioned that he wanted a progress for mimetics, that basically one of the major achievements that should come should be something that clarifies mimetics and that solves the problems associated with it. And the fact is, this book is The Revolutionary Phenotype, the amazing story of how life begins and how it ends. So the story between me and Brett is merely his refusal to engage with this book, which is a theoretical advance that he has requested publicly. And I find it very sad that someone really wanted very hard for a theory to exist, that a scientist has published that theory. It's available to everyone. And in fact, that one of the mentors of Brett Weinstein, Robert Trivers, one of the greatest biologists alive, as said, this book is very important. This book is very powerful. It seems that all of the ingredients are there for Brett to engage with the theory of phenotypic revolutions. But Brett is one of the toughest students I've ever dealt with. I feel like I'm the lady in Dangerous Minds. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize that, you know, I'm stuck with a tough student who's from the streets, who has all these bad behaviors, but who has a great cognition. And I'm trying to get to it, to make an inception. And the harder I try, the more he resists. The harder I try, you know, last time I tried, he started calling my crowd Nazis and says, be careful about these thinkers who are surrounding themselves with criminals and thugs. We live in a gangster's paradise. Yes, DK Shadow. And I'm just a naive blonde trying to teach. I can't help it. It's in my nature. I want to give. So yeah, this guy, not super warm at the idea of talking about Palestinian civilians.
Actually, keep on asking me about Palestinian civilians. What's wrong with you? Have you not seen what happened? We're fighting Nazis.
Not an argument.
We don't target them. Now, the world can come and bring them anything they want. If you want to bring them electricity, I'm not going to feed electricity or water to my enemies.
If you want to bring them electricity. The thing is, from a military strategy perspective, I think that is what I advocated for all the time. In fact, I'm just floored by the fact that Russia is letting any sort of electricity continuing in Ukraine. But when you're talking about the oppression of a people within your nation, it's a very different thing, because if you cut them the electricity, no one else can come in. You know, this guy can say, oh yeah, you can totally freely bring electricity into Palestine, but you can't. The fact is, Palestine is surrounded by Israel, and there is no place by which you can enter electricity in. If you were to do it, you'd probably be accused of being supporting Iran. And every time Iran tries to send anything toward Palestine, it gets intercepted and attacked as if it was not humanitarian aid and some sort of collaboration with terrorists. So the reality is, what he just said here, you can't do. You can't send electricity to Palestine.
If anyone else wants, that's fine. We're not responsible for them.
This is the point.
But you
this
keep
is
on...
Point.
You,
no,
Mr. Bennett,
this is the
tell
point.
You, no, listen. You listen
you're
to
raising
me right
your
now.
Voice,
I've heard
trying,
you enough.
No, I understand. We're trying to have a conversation here. Listen, this
no,
is my program.
You're
this is my show.
I've heard you enough. I mean, even I am sympathetic for the black guy here. And the Jews are making me side with the blacks. This is unbelievable. This guy is totally right. First, it's his show. He can undertake a tough line of questioning. I mean, it's barely tough. This interview is not a softball interview, but it's not a super rude interview. Those are common questions that you ask. You know, what about the safety of civilians? And he's annoyed by it. Silver Spider says he sends $5. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, Jeff, a 28-year-old right-leaning guy at my job thinks that far right is fascist and far left is communist. I pointed out that number one, most right-wingers want less fascism. And number two, since we live in a leftist country, everything conservative is demonized. What else would you add to this? The thing is, if you want to go deep with him, I would simply say, understand that the label far right has been applied to something that it doesn't really belong to. That you should have a conception of the right and left as the size and involvement of the state. And you should understand that all these fascists, they're really not right-wing at all. They have just a different form of communism to propose to us. They want a communism that is meritocratic under some system of meritocracy, but that is not the free market. They want to use the force of the government to impose some racial uniformity of some kind or something like this. And as such, they are government enthusiasts. They are statists. Perhaps the best word that you can educate your coworker about is the word statist. Because statist, it leaves no doubt. It's a clear term that allows you to put both the left and the right into the same bag. If it doesn't matter to me if you identify as a Republican who wants to take the government to do war, or if you're a leftist who wants to take the government to do free healthcare, or if you're a Nazi who wants to take the government to stabilize the white race. If you use the government for this, you're a statist. And statism, as far as I'm concerned, is leftism. Panicus sends a super chat. He says, "Hello, JF. The Dick Masterson interview was funny as fuck. Just wish it was longer. Do you plan on making any more interviews about the disappearance? So funny seeing normies freak out with every sentence of yours." Yes, I was satisfied about my performance. You know, I'm not a professional comedian. But I can deliver a slightly kind of, at the border of comedy, I can deliver something fun. And I tried to deliver what I could on the Dick Masterson show. And I like to think that I'm better comedian than the average person out there. I may not be better than the average professional comedian, but I think I'm better than the average person. And it's fun because it's not something I studied. It's not something I want to do. But it's fun to deliver a comic performance like this. And yes, what I wanted with this performance was to make history of comedy. I don't think I know of any comedians who have taken an ongoing event of theirs in their private life and made a comedy show about it. Yeah, I think that when you saw the reaction of the people in their chat and messages, I think I created a form of humor that no one has ever seen. And that's what I wanted. But it was just an experiment. But I'm happy that you're telling me that you enjoyed it. That was the goal.
Go. And I am asking the questions. Exactly. You're raising your voice, and I've asked you, please, and let me finish. We've already distinguished between you, Hamas. Mister.
I want to tell you, you're
trying to speak over me.
No, are not, shame on you.
It's nothing about shame. We're trying to have a conversation about a very serious situation because, and you are refusing
you
to address it.
Jump over immediately, and again, you
absolutely
use
not. You are incorrect.
They are responsible. Because I can tell you that when the UK,
absolutely
when Great
not.
Britain was fighting the Nazis during World War II, no one asked what's going on in Dresden.
This guy is now using an appeal to Dresden as an example of military legitimate history of what can be done. Dresden is basically the sending of aviation to drop napalm bombs on an entire population, military and civilians included, burning an entire area of the world. That is the event that he's referring to as Dresden. And his point, you have to put it, you have to kind of install the rational software in your brain. His point is, hey, no one went after the Americans for bombing and napalming civilian populations. So in many ways, what we're doing is less cruel than the Dresden fire bombing. So if that was good, we should. But the problem is no one looks at Dresden as a shining example of human rights respect. Dresden is like one of the most horrific acts in the history of the United States intervention, other perhaps than the nuclear bombs. It's like this is the example of the most extreme human suffering to be induced by a modern nation. And this guy goes to it as a reference point to say, hey, that's cool. See, you guys did that. We can do it too now. Holy shit. When you have to side with Dresden as being a legitimate event, ask yourself if your moral system hasn't brought you in the wrong direction. I Hypocrite says Harvard students will be blacklisted by Wall Street after joining 31 organizations that blamed Israel for the Palestine war. Okay, so Wall Street. I thought it was about the free market. I thought it was you buy stuff on Wall Street because you have money. But now you also have to support the Jews, apparently. Pro-Palestine protesters are making trouble in France and the police is arresting them. All right, so rough arrest scenes, riots in Paris, Hamas supporter out in force. I don't know, even from a Jewish perspective, I don't understand what happened to Western civilization. Why did they invite all these people who they knew would be hostile to them? I mean, there are now riots in the streets and protests. We see whole streets filled in France, filled with Muslim people who are anti-sympathetic. They are opposed to what Israel is doing. How does this make sense? Why did we import people who would carry hate and conflict from elsewhere and who would care so much about it that now our own societies are going through inner turmoil because of a turmoil that really doesn't concern us. Lindald Guntram says, simple, we applied neo-Marxist postmodernism. Yeah, it does look like we did. But why? Why did we have to do this? Kalergy plan, people say. Yeah, maybe it was a plan. Anon says, watch for Mama JF in the Paris protest. Possible she could be here. And finally, I will deliver this as the last news item. A father who was with his son in a house that was bombed by the Israelis. Any Twitter account who shows me any sort of evidence of babies dead or evidence of Hamas wrongdoing, if you don't show this also, as far as I'm concerned, you're not a credible speaker for human rights or concerns about civilian suffering. He's saying, I'm okay, Dad, I'm okay. It appears the arm of the boy is in some bubble butt type of wrap. Maybe they're doing surgery on it or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But yeah, if you are rooting for the suffering of only one side to be illustrated in this war, you are beside rationality to me. And you don't even qualify as a rational agent that I would trust on anything. I'm willing to have an open conversation on the public space, on the two sides of suffering, but if you merely exploit the suffering of your side to justify extending your war powers and your ability to make the other side suffer, then you're not on a rational quest. You're on a quest of vengeance. And you're really doing propaganda for vengeance. You are trying to root for other humans around you to be taken by the same rage that you have inside. And you do not deserve the status of a public intellectual as far as I'm concerned. You're a propagandist with set standards as to what they want to accomplish. We'll be right back.